You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Patrick of the Dallas Morning News, here today to talk about our new video series, once a week video breakdowns. We are breaking down the Rangers roster, predicting who is going to make the opening day roster until we get to the beginning of spring training and the beginning of the regular season, which is going to be coming up pretty quick here. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use that promo code Locked On for 20% off your next order. So we are looking at breaking down position by position, who is going to make the opening day roster, who is going to start where, and kind of what that means for this season and what this team's actually going to look like, and getting a better picture of that, reminding you of all the little minor moves that the Rangers made, because there were quite a few of them. But before we can get to any of that, I hope everyone is staying warm in this just terrible winter madness. I'm hoping that your power is mostly staying on, that your cell coverage is mostly there, and that you can keep your families warm and safe, because it is definitely a doozy out there, and really thinking everything about y'all. Make sure to check your local news sites that you trust for information on where to find resources and stuff like that, because things have been going quite haywire recently. Also, check my timeline. I'm trying to retweet as many resources and warming stations and just whatever I can get out there to help y'all stay warm and take advantage of just keeping your families safe in all of this absolute madness that's going on right now. Luckily, I'm okay. My family is okay. We are very lucky to live kind of near one of those stations that requires power. We're on the same grid, so we have been one of the lucky few that have not lost power yet, but it's probably only a matter of time because it's coming for all of us, and it has been quite rough out there. So hope everyone is staying warm, and let's just distract ourselves from the awfulness that's been going on by talking a little bit about some baseball. So let's get down. This first episode is going to be about the infield, who is going to make it. We're going to go position by position, look at who is on the roster already, who is probably going to be the starter, and who is going to be their backup and might challenge them to take that starting spot. Because we got a lot of position battles here across the infield and, you know, across most of the outfield too, and just kind of everywhere. So before we get into that, let's go to catcher. Jose Trevino is the entrenched starter. But the real question is, who is going to be his backup? He's made a 26-man roster, and so there's probably only going to be one backup catcher, but there's quite a few candidates there. There's Sam Huff, who did very, very well in his very short stint in Texas as a major leaguer last year. Granted, it was only 10 games, but he put up impressive numbers. You know, he had just 10 games, but he hit 300. The power numbers were staggering. He had, I believe, 3 home runs, 4 RBI, an OPS of 1136, slug 742, and an on-base of 394. The walks weren't great. He only had 2 walks in 33 plate appearances and struck out literally a third of his at-bats, 11. So I don't think he starts the season as a major leaguer. He's going to be 23 next year. He's got a lot of potential. He is a very solid long-term catcher, and I think he's going to be the Rangers catcher of the future. But I don't think he starts the year in the major leagues. Now, Robinson Chirinos is gone. He has signed a minor league deal with the Yankees. The guy who we thought was going to fix the catching problem last year clearly did not. But there's a few other catchers that are behind Jose Trevino that are probably going to get a little bit of play this year. Mainly Jonah Heim. He is a switch hitting catcher who's listed at 6'4", 220. The Rangers just got him in the Elvis Andrews deal. He was kind of the main piece. He played in 13 games for Oakland last year as a 25-year-old, so he'll be 26 this year. Did not have a very great offensive year with them. Hit only .211 on base of .268 and slugged .211. So no extra base hits there. Did have as many walks to strikeouts, which is an encouraging sign, but at only 41 plate appearances, it doesn't really matter all that much because, you know, small sample size. But he's projected to do fairly well this year, according to Baseball Reference's projections. They have him playing in 255 plate appearances, having an average of .242 on base, .320, slugging just under .400. So a .718 OPS is, you know, not bad for a backup catcher, which I think he will be. Honestly, of these candidates, I like him the best to make the Rangers roster. The Rangers also have Drew Butera, who is a guy who is has a reputation as a veteran receiver who is very good at the defensive side of the ball, has played it for 10 seasons, won the World Series in 2015. That was back when he was with the Kansas City Royals. Last year, as a 36-year-old in Colorado, he only played in 28 games, had really dismal offensive numbers, had an OPS of 396. The year before, his OPS in 16 games was 462. And things just did not go well for him offensively in his career. Just not a great offensive player. Has a 550 career OPS, which is really not what you're looking for. And we've seen older catchers just deteriorate defensively. And if you bring a guy in just for his defense and he doesn't do that, like we saw with Jeff Mathis when he was asked to have a bigger workload, he was always a stellar defensive catcher, kind of very similar profile to Drew Butera, but ended up not doing well defensively really either, as well as his very poor offensive numbers. So he is a non-roster invitee, but I just don't see him making the Major League roster. He might make it for a spot appearance here or there, but probably going to be in AAA for some depth this year. So let's go on to first base. I think it's Ronald Guzman's job to lose, or is it Nate Lowe's job to win? Guzman absolutely destroyed the Dominican Winter League last year. He won the MVP for the Gigantes in 30 games, 131 plate appearances, has an OPS of 973. He had 5 home runs and 3 doubles. Also stole 2 bases without getting caught, which was pretty solid. 17 walks to 23 strikeouts with an on-base of 450. Now, in the Caribbean series, he played for the Dominican Republic and didn't do quite as well. Just 6 games, 26 plate appearances, so much, much smaller sample size. His OPS was only okay. He had 1 home run and 1 double, an OPS of 781, which is fine, but he was playing in a smaller sample size and against better pitching for sure. Nate Lowe is the guy who the Rangers traded for, the Rangers believe in. He's played a little bit of third base as well. So could he play third base more than first base? Because he's not that great defensively at first base. I bet he's even worse defensively at third base. But the Rangers have a real question about what's going to go on at third base. I think that's the biggest hole. We'll get to that in a little bit. But his career OPS is 770, which is definitely better than Ronald Guzman. But he's only played in the big leagues for 2 years, and that is a combined 71 games. So it's a small sample size for him, a career OPS of 107, which is in fact better than Ronald Guzman's career OPS in the big leagues. But yeah, his career OPS in the big leagues is a combined 725 across 236 games, which is much bigger of a sample size. But he also does bring you that improved defense, which I think is undervalued and overlooked quite a bit. But all the great defense in the world is not going to let you play at first base regularly if you cannot hit, which he has not really been able to do. There's not a whole lot of surprise people who could be who could end up stealing this job from either of them. A guy who I'm surprised got a invite to spring training with the big league club at least for a little bit is a guy named Curtis Terry, who's a 24-year-old right-handed hitter who has not played above Class A, but has absolutely dominated everywhere he's played. His offensive numbers are staggering and continue to be staggering. He's definitely a guy to keep an eye on that prospects list, a guy who I like quite a bit, even though I didn't put him in my top 20 quite yet. I need to see a little bit more from him before I put him up there, but he is getting close to breaking that. But other than that, I don't think that there's going to be any other guys that are going to play even semi-consistently at first base outside of Nate Lowe and Guzman, maybe a little bit of Solak, but we'll see where that goes. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the other positions remaining, second base, shortstop, third base, some really interesting stuff going on, position battles-wise there outside of shortstop. But right after this word from our sponsors, we'll get back and talk about what the heck is going to happen with Rougned Odor in this preseason right after this. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL—they're in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place, best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. The absolute best tasting protein bar ever is here. It is Built Bar, and somehow it's gotten even deliciouser. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. These guys are absolutely changing the game on how good protein bars can taste. They're new and improved and even deliciouser. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat that's covered in 100% chocolate, which means it's soft and easy to chew. So they're low in calories, they're low in sugar, they're also high in protein and high in fiber. They are great for the keto diet. They've got everything you need and nothing that you don't. Go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. We are back and talking about second base. Yeah, second base, the place that Rougned Odor has been for, it feels like, forever. He is now the longest tenured Ranger, even though he was only 26 last season. He's going to be 27 this season, which is kind of wild because it feels like he's been here forever and he's still not even 30. Yeah, made his debut at age 20 in 2014, and he's been there ever since. Last year was a surprisingly bad year. Somehow not his worst OPS year by OPS. He had a 721 OPS last year, whereas he had I was looking at 2019. Yeah, it was his worst career year by OPS. Had a 623 OPS in 38 games. That's 148 plate appearances. The only year that was even close to that was in 2017. The only year where he played 162 games, but he had a 649 OPS. Other than that, every year except for his rookie year has been above 700. And only the last couple of years, and including that 2017 year, have been below 750. He had been fairly consistent, but this year was just kind of him absolutely falling off a cliff. Hit 167 on base of 209, slugged 413. He did have quite a few home runs, 10 home runs in 38 games, which was surprising. Almost, I felt like all of them almost came within a week. Definitely had at least 5 home runs in a 1 week span. And he continued to hit home runs towards the end of the season, but that's not going to be enough. He needs to walk at least a little bit. He only had 7 walks in 148 plate appearances last year to 47 strikeouts. That is not sustainable. The year before he had much more walks. He was improved his walk rate significantly. His batting average was 205 in 2019. But his on base was just under 80 points higher at 283. He had 52 walks, which was 9 more than his career high, which was set in his previous year. The walk rate kept on increasing, but last year it fell off a cliff, and that was one of the biggest reasons why he fell off a cliff as well. This is basically, he's basically lost his job. He needs to prove that he can win the job out from Nick Solak. I feel like that's going to be his main competition. Solak last year, he started more of his games in left field than he did at second base. Offensive numbers were definitely better than Rougned Odor's, but the slugging percentage was way down. He hit 268, fine. On base, 326, okay. Slugging, 344. He was one of the biggest victims of the Rangers' new park. Only had 2 home runs and 10 doubles in his 58 games. He played almost all the season. That was 233 plate appearances. So you really need to see those offensive numbers jump up. And granted, if the park stinks, which it kind of does, and those fly balls go out there to die, you're still only playing half your game at home. So you've got to hit for power outside of the Rangers ballpark. So that is going to be a real concern with Nick Solak to see if he can play consistently there. Let's look at some of the other guys that might end up taking some at-bats from him. Anderson Tejeda is a guy who really surprised with how well he did last year. I don't think that he's going to be able to make the opening day roster or even play that much in the big leagues this year. The Rangers also signed Brock Holt, who is a left-handed hitter who's played third base and I think has played a little bit at second base. Also, Andy Ibañez is a guy who the Rangers have been very high on since they signed him out of Cuba. I've seen him quite a bit in Frisco. He has hit decently well in the minor leagues, but I just don't see him breaking out. I don't see him having more offensive potential than any of the other guys at second base. I think he might be worse right now than Ruben Odor. He might be a little bit better, but it's honestly close. And Nick Solak is definitely better than him offensively and much better than him defensively. Ibañez hasn't been able to find a place defensively to let him his bat end up making a difference. But his bat hasn't been that great, and I honestly have never really seen the hype about Andy Ibañez. So there is a chance that he makes the roster. I don't really know what the Rangers' fascination with him is. He hasn't done anything that exciting since he came over from Cuba. Grant, he was outstanding in Cuba, but he has not done that much in the several years since he has been stateside. So let's move on to shortstop. Pretty clear, cut and dry. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, this is your job, and you're not going to, it's not your job to lose. It's just your job. That's it. The Rangers made that very clear when they, I guess, they decided that they were going to trade Elvis, it felt like, in December when they announced this. He has played third base, catcher, second base. Those are his defensive positions listed on Baseball Reference. He won the Gold Glove last year for being the best defensive third baseman. Honestly, should have been close to winning the Platinum Glove because he was fantastic defensively no matter where he was. Last year, he played 46 games at third base, so the vast majority there. Also played 15 games at shortstop. When Elvis Andrus went out before they decided to call up Anderson Tejeda. And before that, he had only played two games at shortstop. Those came in 2018. No games at all in 2019 there, and only 15 games at shortstop. So I'm a little concerned. The defense has been excellent. And I think telling him in December, while it was puzzling at the time, is the right move, especially seeing how little experience he has at that position. Yeah, only 17 games in two seasons at shortstop. So just telling him to get ready for that and prepare. He can spend his entire offseason preparing to be just much improved. Last year, he had a 2-WAR season, which was his career best. He had a 1.9 WAR season his rookie year in 111 games. And last year in 58 games, he had a 2-WAR season, according to Baseball Reference, which is really, really solid. His defensive WAR was 1.3 last year, which is almost as good as his first year. In 2018, where he played primarily third base. I'm glad they kind of stopped with the whole catching assignment. He wasn't quite big enough. He wasn't quite elite defensively at catcher because it takes so long to learn that position. But he already was elite at third base, and so they realized, okay, let's make sure that we play to his strengths, even if he's not going to start every day, which on a good contending team, I don't know that he would, but he has proven himself. He improved those offensive numbers. Last year, he had an OPS of 699, which was improved from his career mark, which is 670 at this point. He had 3 home runs, which was almost as good as his career high, 4 home runs in his rookie year. The power numbers have gone up a little bit, and I think he is definitely a victim. He could have had more home runs if the Rangers Stadium did not play like an extreme pitcher's park, which is going to be a real problem for the Rangers if their offense continues to suck real bad, because they have decent offensive players, but they're definitely being hurt by the ballpark, which I think they will eventually change the measurements when the Rangers decide to start contending and get some more good offensive players in there. So IKF, shortstop is yours. Now, third base. This is the biggest question mark for the Rangers. Last year, IKF was the primary third baseman. He has moved over to shortstop, and Elvis Andrus, who we thought was probably going to be the primary starting third baseman for the Rangers this season, is not going to be there. So who do we have? Let's look at the roster invitees. Shurton Apostle played a couple games there. I do not see him starting opening day. I think that is very unlikely. I really liked what I saw from him last year, even and I liked even more what I heard from him, taking advantage of the opportunities that he got, learning from big leaguers and all kinds of stuff like that. But I don't think that he is going to start the season in the big leagues, probably somewhere in either AA or AAA. Actually, mainly I say AAA because Josh Young is probably going to start. Actually, no. I should swap that. Josh Young is probably going to start the season in AAA. But if Josh Young has a good camp, I really don't think it's out of the question that he could start the season at the big league level. He is a guy who has got a lot of potential, a guy who is very smart, very hardworking. Everybody raves about this kid. The Texas Tech coaches are very happy and feel very lucky that they got him to commit and not end up getting drafted. Back when he was coming out of San Antonio in high school, he gave them 3 good years, brought them to the championship series in Nebraska for, I think, at least 2 of his 3 seasons, maybe all 3. Not exactly sure on that. I'm pretty sure it was just 2. But he's 23 years old. He hasn't played in AA yet, but the Rangers really love what they saw out of him. There has been a lot of improvement he got in the 2020 season, which was very difficult and really speaks to his character. But I think it's still a long shot, but I don't think it's something you should rule out entirely. But I'm thinking the most likely option is going to be a platoon. Remember Charlie Culberson? Yeah, he is going to be probably on the big league roster to start the season and for most of the season. He's a guy who absolutely mashes lefties, has played basically everywhere in the infield except for first base. But, I mean, there's not a lot of at-bats there for him at first base. Anyway, he's played quite a bit of shortstop, second base, third base. I think he's going to be the primary backup shortstop this season. They also signed Brock Holt, who is a lefty 32-year-old veteran who has played quite a bit, just pretty much everywhere. I think he is going to be a little bit of a platoon with Charlie Culberson at third base. We also could see a little bit of Nate Lowe at third base. I don't really think that that's necessarily super likely because Nate Lowe is just not that good defensively. Not that either of those two are that good defensively, but they got more experience than Nate Lowe. But if the Rangers view him as a third baseman and they really believe in Ronald Guzman, then I say heck with it. They know better than I do. They've got much better evaluators than I do. But I think that's what's going to happen. So we're looking at opening day. We're going to have I say that Ronald Guzman wins the spot opening day. I definitely think that it's not going to be super close, that Jose Trevino is going to be catching, but he's really going to have to fight to make sure that he stays as the primary catcher because Jonah Heim has got some potential there and really need to improve those offensive numbers. So opening day infield, I think, looks like this. Jose Trevino catching, Ronald Guzman starting at first base, Nick Solak starting at second base, IKF starting at shortstop, and you know what? Let's say Nate Lowe at third base. I think that will be the opening day start. He's probably going to get some time at DH. He might play a little bit in left field. I'm not really sure, especially with the Rangers having getting Chris Davis. I think that really affects Nate Lowe because there were going to be a few DH opportunities, even though it's not a whole lot with David Dahl mostly playing left field, or maybe he'll move to center field and Willie Calhoun will play left field. And then you still have Chris Davis as DH. So it's going to be kind of complicated. But that's how I think this opening day roster shakes out in terms of the infield. So that's what we're going to do it for today's episode. We'll be back a little bit later next week to talk about the outfield. And then we'll talk about starting pitching. And then we'll talk about relievers. We might combine those two. I don't know. We'll see kind of where it goes and what's happening once spring training actually gets going. But until next time, don't forget.